Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start recording. So, Maliki Yawm al-Din, which is the king of the day of judgment. Yawm al-Din is the day of judgment. Yawm is day, and Din is payback. So it's the day we pay back. We pay back. The day we pay back or get paid back. Now, if there is no Yawm al-Din, what kind of problem that we will have face if there is no Yawm al-Din? Let's say this is a bad guy and this is a good guy. When they die, where do they go? Underground, right? Well, that's what we see. We see them going underground. But if this is a bad guy and this is a good guy, they end up the same. 6 foot underground, right? Do you accept that? Does that make any sense to you?
No.
It doesn't make any sense to you. Why? Because this guy was a good guy, this guy is a bad guy. How come that this bad guy goes to Jannah and this good guy goes to Jannah as well? Or how come that this guy is not going to be punished or this guy is not going to be rewarded? Would that make any sense that they both get treated the same? No. So there has to be a day of judgment where this guy is generously rewarded, and this guy is generously punished. Not generously, but badly punished. Do you understand? Okay. So this is the day of judgment. This is the day of judgment. Without the day of judgment, why should I sacrifice precious money? And why do I sacrifice precious time? And why would I sacrifice doing good things? Huh? Precious effort, that's right. Why do I do that if there is no body? If there's nobody who's going to reward me in the day of judgment? Why don't I just become the worst man ever?
Your deeds count on the day of judgment.
Exactly. If there's no day of judgment, okay, we will end up the same. Right? We all end up the same, which is buried 6 foot underground, and that's the end. That's it. No resurrection, no wake up. You got it? Okay. إياك نعبد مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد. So far, you're talking about Allah as a third person. So far, you're speaking about Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That's a third person. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's a third person. Do you know what I mean by third person? Huh? You know what I mean by third person? Malik Yawm al-Din. That's what? A third person. So far, it's a third person. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. Why it's a third person? Because you're warming up to talk to Allah as the second person. So you're starting to warm up with talking about Allah as a third person, and then after warming up, you talk about Allah as the first as the second person. So you say, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. إياك نعبد. إياك نعبد. Okay. وإياك نستعين. وإياك نستعين. It is you that we worship. It is you that we seek help from. Okay. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Now, worship. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. So you're saying it is you only that we worship. It is you only that we seek help from. This is what? Tawheed or not Tawheed? Tawheed. You know what Tawheed is? Believing that Allah is one. Among the most essential meaning of Tawheed is that believing that Allah is one. That Allah is one, not any more than one. Okay? So, can I get a pencil? Okay. So, Iyyaka na'bud is a declaration. Iyyaka na'bud or Iyyaka nasta'in is a declaration of Tawheed. It's a declaration of Tawheed. Iyyaka na'bud means what? It is you that we worship. Wa Iyyaka nasta'in, it is you that we seek help from. Iyyaka na'bud wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Okay? So, that's a declaration of oneness. Oneness of Allah. Oneness of Allah means Tawheed. Tawheed means declare that Allah is one. So that's why you say, Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Did you memorize? Qul idu Allah wa idu ar-Rahman. So the next week I'm going to test you for everything. And based on that, your final grade is going to be determined next week. Okay? So, get ready. It's the final.
So, how many
do we have to memorize? The same stuff that you had to memorize before. So, all you need to do is to read or memorize part of what, as much as you can, because your passing grade is going to depend on it. Now, Allah has a place in our heart, has a room for Himself in our heart. He can sit in that room, and when Allah's in your heart, you become a righteous person and you become the divine slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. Iyyaka nasta'in, it is you who seek help from. And as we did before, depending on Allah or seeking help from Allah has to be done. It includes doing your part. So you don't say Iyyaka nasta'in and expect Allah to do everything for you. No. You do your part. Okay? If you're doing your part, then you're doing nasta'in. But if you're not doing your part, then you're not doing nasta'in. Then ihdina. Ihdina. What is ihdina? Huh? Guide. Guide us. Okay? Guide us. Ihdina means guide us. Ihdina. Ihdina. Guide us. Ihdina. Okay? As-sirata. What is as-sirata? Path. The path between point A and point B. Which point B? Jannah. Point A is you are point A, you're born. Point B, you are in the hereafter. In Jannah or Hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you. And you're asking him to follow the straight path. Okay? What is the opposite of straight path? Crooked path or wrong path. That's right. So crooked path doesn't end in Jannah. Crooked path ends in hellfire. So what ends in Jannah is the straight path. Ihdina as-sirata المستقيم. So صراط means path. مستقيم means straight. طيب الصراط المستقيم is straight path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He divided the Fatiha.
With who?
He divided the Fatiha into two parts.
Oh.
One, to praise Him, and the other part is to pray for Him. You understand? So the first part is to... No. First of all, to memorize Him or remember Him. And then second is to ask Him. So, when you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmi al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Okay? Then you start asking Him, Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim, wala al-dallin. So, the first part of Surah Al-Fatiha is just praising Allah. And the second part is... asking Allah. So the first part is praising and the second part is asking. So when you say the first part, Allah says Dhakarani Abdi, that my slave remembered me. And then we start asking, and before Allah says only after you ask, Allah says, and to my slave what he asks for. Or what she asks for. Okay? So the first part is remembering me, and the second part is asking me. Okay? So which part is asking me? Start from Ihdina. Asking Allah. Ihdina sirat al mustaqim. Sirat al ladhina an'amta alayhim. What is the sirat al mustaqim? A straight path. And you are say Ihdina means
guide
us or guide me. Ihdina means guide us, basically. Why us? Why not Ihdini? Because Ihdini is very selfish. Why don't you say Ihdina? When you say Ihdina, then it applies to you and others. So don't be selfish. So don't say Ihdini. Ihdini is kind of selfish. You say Ihdina, because Islam is all about groups, it's all about communities. So you pray in the name of Allah to guide you and to guide the community. Ihdina, or to guide the Muslim Ummah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. An'amta alayhim means the ones whom you blessed. Which are? The ones who end up with. In Jannah, the good believers. The believers, they ended up in where? In Jannah. And those are the people that an'amta alayhim. Those are the people you have blessed. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ means the people whom you're angry with. The people whom you're angry with. Now, who are the people that Allah is angry with? Okay, there is knowing the truth and not knowing the truth. So, Allah is angry with the ones who know the truth but they don't follow it. Who know the truth but they don't believe. So they know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, they know that he's a true prophet but they reject him knowingly. And between them, they talk and say, we know 100% that he's a prophet. But, okay, we reject him. You might be kind of confused telling me, how come somebody knows the truth and then rejects it? How come if they know that Prophet Muhammad is a messenger and the Quran is true and they believe into that, then how come they just didn't believe? They were fully convinced, they fully informed in the Torah that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to show up in Medina, and that's why they went and they camped in Medina. They created the communities in Medina and around in Medina. My question to you is, How come someone knows the truth but he's not following the truth? Think of it. If you know the truth, wouldn't you follow it?
Yeah.
Okay, then how come?
The people of Ben Israel, they didn't like it that Moses wasn't born from one of their people. He was born from...
The children of Israel?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He was born from the Arab.
Yeah.
So they hated that, right. So they refused. So basically, let me give you an example of somebody who knows the truth, but he's not able to follow the truth because of evil temptations or bad temptations. Huh? The one who's trying to lose weight. The one who tried to lose weight, what's the truth? He knows that the truth is he has to lose weight or he will die, for example. Okay, so he knows the truth. The doctor tells him, it's either you lose weight or you die. Okay? But this guy, as many of those people, can't lose weight. They are not able to lose weight. Why? Because they cannot stop thinking about food and they cannot stop eating. You understand?
Yeah.
So just think, remember that there are people who are fully convinced that the Prophet Muhammad is a true prophet if they follow him to go to Jannah, but they were not following that because of temptations. So they knew it, but they could not overcome their temptations. Their temptations. They didn't overcome it. They could not. So just like the person who's trying to lose weight, and he's not able to do so. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ The people that you have been, that you have blessed. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ Who are الضَّالِّينَ? So we have now three kinds. The first kind is الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ The second kind is الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ Which are the people that you cursed. Why did Allah curse them? Because they knew the truth, but... Huh? They know the truth, but they didn't follow it. They know the truth, but they didn't follow it. What is a dalil? A dalil is people who don't know the truth. And they are not following the truth because they don't know it. People that have been confused by other scriptures. Okay? People who are confused about the truth. It's not that they know the truth. It's now because they don't know the truth. And of course, because they don't know the truth, they are not going to figure it out. You understand? Those are dalil, which are the misguided people. And then Amin. What's the meaning of Amin? Ya Allah, accept the dua. If I make dua and you say Amin, it would be equivalent to you saying the dua as well. So I say, Ya Allah, give recovery or give health back to Sister Sabaha, for example. When you do that, and I say Ameen, meaning, Ya Allah, accept. It would be like if I made the dua myself. When the Imam says the dua and you say Ameen, it would be Ameen means Ya Allah, accept, which means that I am doing the dua as well. It would be equal to as if I am giving the dua myself. Wala dhalin Ameen. Now, Ameen may be said loudly or quietly. The people who follow Hanafi Madhab, people from Pakistan and India, Bangladesh, those areas, the Hanafi Madhab, Madhab Imam Abu Hanifa, you know about the Madhab? Four schools of thought. So those who follow Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, okay, those who follow, Imam Abu Hanifa, they don't say Ameen loudly. So we say, the Imam says, Waladdalin. They say, not loudly. Now, other people who belong to other schools of thought, they say Ameen loudly. Okay? You understand? So, when you see people saying Amin, they are right. When you see people not saying Amin, then they are also right. Either way is right. Go ahead. Good question. Good question. So, we have Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Malik. Okay, so the ones who follow Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they are called Hanbali. The ones who follow Imam Shafi'i, they are called Shafi'i. And the one who follow Imam Malik, they are called Maliki. And the one who follow Imam Malik, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Hanifa. Malik, Hanifa. School of Malik, school of Abu Hanifa, school of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, school of Shafi'i. Yes, school of Shafi'i. Okay? So Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki, Hanafi. Okay? So, the ones who say, now, Ameen, is it part of Surah Al-Fatiha or not?
No.
Yes, it's not. Now, who taught Ameen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Angel Jibreel, who taught him the word Ameen. Means, Ya Allah, accept the dua, and it will be equivalent as you have done the dua yourself. Okay? Okay, now let me run you through a quiz. Okay? I'm going to ask questions, and you answer, and I'm going to get to give you points. Okay. How come anything you say without Bismillah is incomplete? Yes, but what does that mean? It's incomplete. Does that mean when you drive a car without saying Bismillah, the car is not going to drive you? If you say Bismillah before washing the laundry, if you don't say Bismillah before washing the laundry, does that mean that the washing machine is not going to work?
No.
No. So, okay, exactly. So what does it mean? It's better and everything. Your answers are all right, okay? But I want the most correct answer or the most relevant answer to this. Why is it incomplete? Huh? Because you get the benefits in this life, but you don't get the benefits of the hereafter. So when you do something and you say Bismillah before doing this something, then you get the blessing of, or like you get the benefit of the thing you're doing where in this life. So let me ask you another question. How do you make sure you're getting the benefits of what you're doing, okay, in the hereafter? By saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's right. By saying Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman. Okay? But if you don't, then you're not getting. So, you might eat without saying Bismillah. Then what happens? The Prophet said Shaitan will eat with you. You would be like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like Shaitan is eating you.
When you eat with your left hand.
For example, when, I mean, unless you're left-handed.
Yeah, because yes. He tries to eat with his right hand, but it's just easier for him with his left hand.
It's some people do that, it's difficult for them.
Yeah.
It's just like if I ask you to eat with your left hand.
Or right with your left hand instead of your right.
Yes. Exactly, it's going to be very tough. So does this man, without saying Bismillah, what happened? Is the food going to fill up your tummy? Yes. Is the food is going to give you vitamins and minerals?
Yes.
If you don't say Bismillah, the food will fill you up still, and the food is going to give you vitamins and everything. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's like the same thing as giving dhikr and praying, right? It's food for the soul. So when you say Bismillah and then you eat, the food feeds your stomach while Bismillah feeds your soul, right?
That's right. And then you make this will guarantee you that you're getting the benefit of eating in the Day of Judgment. You say, do we get hasanat for eating? Yes, you get hasanat for eating. How? By saying Bismillah. What if you don't say Bismillah? Then you get nothing. Why? Because your eating is incomplete. But I ate everything and I benefited from the food. Yes, you got the benefit of the food. But in this life, but how about the Day of Judgment? You don't. Okay. What's the difference between Rahman and the Rahman? First of all, what's the meaning of Bismillah?
In the name of Allah.
Yes, in the name of Allah. What does it mean when I say Bismillah?
I'm doing something in the name of Allah.
I'm doing something in the name of Allah. What's the meaning in the name of Allah? Like, I'll give you an example. If the US President Obama says, in the name of the American people, so what does he mean when he says in the name of the American people?
It means he's going to do something for the American people alive.
Yeah, actually he's saying in the name of the American people means that the American people, I'm representing the American people who are giving me the authority to speak on their behalf. When we vote for the president, we are giving him the authority to vote on our behalf. Do you understand that? So when I say in the name of the American people, it means the American people told me or gave me authority to speak on their behalf. Can I say in the name of the American people? No. Why not? Because nobody gave me authority to speak on their behalf or to take care of their business and affairs. Okay. So then what's the name of Bismillah then?
In the name of Allah.
Which means?
Representing Allah.
You are speaking the words of Allah. Now who got you permission to use the words of Allah? To use the words of Allah, which is the Quran. Who gave you permission? Allah. That's why you say Bismillah means in the name of Allah. Who authorized me to give, to read the Quran. If the American people authorize you to speak on their behalf, then Bismillah, then in the name of the American people. If Allah gives you the authority to read Quran, then it is in the name of Allah. In the name of Allah. Okay, what's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? What's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim?
Ar-Rahman can be used on... Ar-Rahman can be used on...
Applied.
Person, but Rahim can't. Because Rahim is a...
Yes. Yes. But what's the difference between them other than what you just said? What you said is correct. But what's the other difference between them? Why is that this way? Why can't somebody call Rahman, but somebody can call Rahim?
Because Ar-Rahim is the name of beauty and Ar-Rahman is the name of greatness.
That's right. That's right.
The most merciful and Ar-Rahim is the most kind.
The most merciful, the most forgiving is Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman is the most beneficial. So you say in the name of Allah.
So no one can be as merciful as Allah, which
exactly.
Is why it can't be used on person.
Yes. Also, it means Ar-Rahman. It means that both good guys and bad guys get the benefits of Allah. So he's Ar-Rahman because he gives benefits in this life to what? Good? and bad. But this life, in the next life, who gets the benefit?
Good.
Only good. How about the bad people?
They don't
get the benefit. Okay? Okay. What is the meaning of Rabb? The owner. That's right. So, does this mean we are his slaves too?
Yes.
Why did Allah repeat after Rabb al-Alameen, he repeated Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Didn't we just say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim at the beginning?
Yeah.
Why Allah is repeating it again? Because slavery sounds like slavery is something harsh. So Allah says, Rabbul Alameen, that we are his slaves, but Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So we are slaves to Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So what's the difference between being a slave of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim versus being a slave of something else?
Being a slave of God, he's created you, but you're like a slave of someone else. They've like bought you or
yes.
taken you.
But the slavery, what's the difference between slavery to Allah and slavery to people? Or to anybody. Like people mostly, like wage slaves, you know wage slaves? Are the people who are slaves of the salary that they get. These are called wage slaves.
Allah rewards you in the end.
A slavery to Allah, you have more free will than you would if you were slavery to someone else.
Yes. Slavery for Rahman al-Rahim means slavery to the kind Allah. It is the kind of slavery that you benefit from. And that is very kind. Like Allah is telling you to pray how many times a day?
Five.
But to get money, your employer wants you to work how long? 8 hours, 9 hours,
eight.
Right? 8 to 5. So you are a slave of wages, you are a slave of your employer. However, because your employer is sucking your time, he owns you, employer owns you during that time, he's the owner, he's your owner, he owns you, okay? But Allah wants to say that the slavery to someone else is harsh. Slavery to someone else is harsh. Like slavery to Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is beautiful. So slavery to Allah is beautiful. And Allah does not exhaust all your effort. 5 times a day worship or like prayer. How long they are going to take total? Probably 30 minutes, 40 minutes every day, right? So Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim because he gives you. You are a slave, so he gives you. Now, if you're a slave to somebody other than Rahman Ar-Rahim, he takes you. He takes away from you. He takes away from you. So, being slavery to anything else is harsh. But being slave to Allah is kind. And you see here, Rabb al-Alameen, we are slaves of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, who is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's why Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim was repeated twice. It was repeated, it was said in the first ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim again. To emphasize and to make sure you understand that it's a slavery to Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is not slavery to any other Lord other than Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And Allah is the most kind Lord. You can never find a Lord which is more kind than more beneficial than Allah. So, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Okay. What's the meaning of the word Malik?
Master.
King, owner, master. How about Malik Yawm al-Din?
Master, the day of judgment.
So, you want to tell me that Allah is only the master of the day of judgment?
He's the owner.
No, what I meant is that Allah is master only at the day of only in the day of judgment, or Allah
master of
Allah master is everywhere, right? But how come he says master of the day of judgment?
Because
there's gonna be all the kings and like rulers of this life are not gonna be like rulers of hereafter,
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. That's a perfect answer. That in this life, we can see other kings. Okay? Other kings and queens and presidents and all of those. In this life. But in the day of judgment, Allah wants to tell you, none of that will be there. No kings. No queens in the day of judgment. Okay? No kings, no queens in the day of judgment. You understand that? Okay. Okay. Now, Bismillah works like an alarm. Before you do bad deeds, it wakes you up. Why? Can you give me an example of how Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim would save you from drinking wine? If you used to say Bismillah before everything you do. It's like an alarm. It's like boom, boom, boom. You say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah and drinking wine. Or you say Bismillah and steal money. So, you say Bismillah and doing something wrong, it works like an alarm. If you used to say Bismillah, then when it comes doing bad deeds, you say, I'm doing something bad. I can't say Bismillah. Then it's something bad. You need to get out to go far away from it. Okay. What is Yawm al-Din? The day of judgment, right. Why is it called the deen? Yawm, what's the meaning of the word yawm?
Day.
Good job. How about the deen?
Payback.
Yes. Debt, payback. So like you pay back. You bring debts to yourself in this life and you give yourself credits. Credits by praying and fasting, debts by doing bad deeds. At the day of judgment is the day of payback. A deen. Ad-Din. How many names for the Day of Judgment in the Quran? Not how many names. Can you give me an example? Other names? Yawm al-Qiyamah. That's right.
Revelation.
Huh?
Revelation.
What?
I heard like Day of Revelation.
Resurrection? Day of Resurrection? Uh-huh. What else? Al-Qari'ah. Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, remember? This is Al-Qari'ah. It's one of the day of the names. And the Al-Haqa, Al-Haqa, Yaw Al-Qiyamah. So, Al-Qiyamah, Al-Haqa, Al-Qari'ah, and Al-Qiyamah, Al-Haqa, Al-Qari'ah. The Day of Judgment, I'm sorry, the Yawm al-Din and Yawm al-Hisab. What is it also? As-Sa'ah. It's called also As-Sa'ah in the Quran. Inna as-Sa'ata la'atiyah. The Day of Judgment is coming for sure. Okay? The literal translation of As-Sa'ah is the what? The hour. The hour. That's the literal translation of sa'a. Allah calls it sa'a, not means an the hour. Okay. The last thing. The surah started with talking about Allah as the third person, right? And then what happens?
First person.
Which ayah Allah started talking about Allah as first person? Yes. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Because iyaka means you. Now, why Allah started first with the third person? Speaking of
emphasizing on.
Because you're warming up. Yes. Because Allah wants you to warm up. Warm up and then go. Ask. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. So starting. Allah divides the Fatiha. He says, I divide the Fatiha between me and my slave. My slave is going to say what? He's going to say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. End. So Allah will say, Hamadani Abdi. My slave thanked me. And then Allah says, to my slave, whatever he asks or she asks for, which is starting with, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. So what's the name of Amin? What's the meaning of Amin? Ya Allah, accept my dua. If I make dua and you say Amin, it will be as if you have made the dua. How many ways Amin would be said during the prayer? Is it always loud?
No.
So, Imam, in the area of Pakistan and India and all of those, they Imam Abu Hanifa. So Imam Abu Hanifa is, and also Imam Abu Hanifa talks negatively about not covering your head. So you can find people before they pray, they cover their heads. Those are also following the school of Abu Hanifa. Okay? And the reason was that in the old time, the tradition was if you go walking without imamah, then it's not good. It's like you're not walking, it's like walking with in a shameful manner. All right? Okay, I'll see you inshallah next time.